Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Community of Grace via Facebook Live. Let me make a couple of announcements before I go into the message. First of all, I want to thank people for their giving. I want to thank you for your faithfulness. And also, let me say this, that in giving, it's really about giving to God. And it's not that God needs our money, but we need to give. And so, because one of the things that giving does, it builds our faith. And so, faith is something that we all need in a time like this. And so, as you give, it positions you to see God work in your life and in your situation, in your finances, and then that grows your faith. And so, thank you for your giving. And giving to God, you know, giving to the church is a vehicle through which you're given to God. And so thank you for that. Thank you for your faithfulness. And you can give two ways. You can either go on our webpage, which is at icgrace.org, and you can there's a link there on where you can give. Also, you can mail it in to us also. So those are your giving options. There's two ways that you can listen to this. You know, if you're listening to me right now, you're listening to me on Facebook Live, and so that's one way. The other way is, again, through our webpage. If you go to the media page, there's a spot there where the Bible studies are there, the messages are there, but that's the audio only, and that will be up in a little while, so you can listen that way also. Also, on our email list, our COG list or our COG list, there is questions from the message that are already posted there. And there's also questions from the Bible study also posted there, so you can answer those if you so desire. So let me just pray, and then we'll get into the message. I want to pray for a couple of things. I want to pray first of all for the first responders. You know, there's so much talk right now about what's going on with the protests that, you know, the whole situation with COVID-19 has kind of taken a back door right now, but we still need to be praying for the first responders with the COVID-19. We continue to pray for those that have been exposed to the virus, and we need to pray for their healing and their recovery and for the protection of all of us from getting it. But I also want to pray about the protests, and I also want to pray for the police that are on the front lines there right now. And they've also been on the front line with the virus also, but they're also really on the front line right now with the protests, so I want to pray for them. And I also want to pray for, there's one of the people in our church, Dana, has a dog, and his dog's name is Stella, and he took Stella for a walk this week, and Stella got bitten by a rattlesnake, and so Stella's going to be okay, but Stella's leg is all swollen up, and so I want to pray for her. And the thing about this is that in praying for these different things, we really see that God is a God that cares about the big things, the global things, the things in our world that are going on, but also God cares about all the little intimate things in our lives as well. And so this is the great kind of God that we have. So I'm going from this to this, but it just shows how good our God is and how much He cares. And so let's pray. So, Father, I thank You for our time today. Lord, I thank You that You are a good God. You are a faithful God. You are a caring, loving, and compassionate God. Lord, we know that the virus was not Your doing, but we know that You're working and moving in it and doing wonderful and mighty things in the midst of it. Father, I just pray for the protection of the doctors, the nurses, all the care workers, all those that are serving on the front lines, all those that are in contact with those that have been infected. Lord, I just pray that You would protect them, that You would keep them safe, that You would keep their spirits up, Father, that You would keep their stamina up. Lord, that You would just help them as they care for people who are suffering. Father, I just pray for those who have been exposed to the virus. I pray for one that it would not manifest in their system. And in fact, I pray that You would just remove it from their system. I pray for those that do have symptoms, Lord, that You would heal them. And I thank You, Lord, that You are a God that heals. I pray for those that are recovering. We thank you for that. And we just pray for their continued and speedy recovery. Father, I also want to lift up what's all going on with the protests all across the country. Father, people are tired. People are angry. There's just so much that has been building in people. And it's being expressed in the unfortunate ways that it's being expressed with the violence, the damage of property. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would just bring a calm to people, that you would bring your peace over people. Father, that you would just still our anger, that you would soothe our pain, that you would bring your peace that passes all understanding. Father, I pray for the police all over the nation that we're serving also on the front line with the virus, but now they're serving on the front line in a different way, putting their lives on the line in a different way, you know, having things thrown at them and things yelled at them, and there are those that have been hurt. Lord, we just pray that you would protect them as they serve, as they try to protect us. Lord, just bless them and help them. Lord, not only physically, but help them emotionally and mentally, because behind those uniforms, they're real life flesh and blood people as well, with feelings and emotions as well. And they have to put all that aside to do their job, but they're still people. And so, Lord, help them. Comfort and minister to them and bless them. Lord, I pray that you would bring a healing to our nation that has been hurting and divided for a long time now. Lord, I just pray that you'd bring a healing to our planet. I pray for the virus to be eradicated from our world, that we would never see its likes again. Father, and lastly, Lord, I pray for Stella. I pray for Dana's dog. Lord, our pets are more than just our pets. They're members of our families. They have worked their way into our heart, and we love them. And so, Father, I just pray for Stella's healing. I thank you that she is healing, but I pray for continued complete healing, Father, and full recovery for her. And just be with Dana and Nikki in this time, because that's hard for them. And so I thank you, Lord, that you care about all these things, the big and the small. Lord, all are important to you because you love us. And because you love us, what's important to us is important to you. And so we just thank you for being such a great and compassionate God. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this week was a disappointing week for many people. When I sent out my weekly email article that I do on Wednesdays or Thursdays, that informed everyone that we will not be reopening right away. This came after receiving a 13-page document from the California Department of Public Health and Cal OSHA listing a whole host of restrictions. Among some of those being that we would have to be cleaning and washing everything every time we do anything, and we would have to continue to do that in between everything that we do. That church volunteers would have to be trained in all various kinds of duties. That we would have to take the temperatures of people once they walked into the building. That we would have to have marked footpaths for foot traffic with people within the building. That we would be forbidden from coming into contact with one another. That we would have to have air cleaners going in the room, that worship itself would be greatly hindered, that masks would be mandatory, that drinking fountains would be turned off, there would be no food or beverages allowed. So what this means, church people, is no coffee and donuts. There would be restrictions on the use of common areas, and the list goes on and on and on. Again, 13 pages of things. And if we were to officially reopen, it would have a severe impact on our operations during the week, making what we do during the week even harder and even more restricted. And then there's the issue of the church's insurance coverage should something happen. And so for me personally, as the under-shepherd, I have to find the balance in all of this. And I have to think about people's safety, but I also have to think about people's feeling of security and their feeling of peace when they're here. And to protect and be a good steward of what God has entrusted me with, and to be a good and be a good user of what we have in advancing God's kingdom. I also have to think about our witness out there and how what we do impacts that witness, being that we are the Jesus that people see. But there's also keeping in front of us what God is doing in our situation as well, and in our situations. Above all else, it's us being in line with God and with what He is doing. And so the bottom line is this: although it would be nice for people to be able to worship together again, it would be so much of a hassle, and it would be so restricted that it's actually easier and less troublesome for so many reasons to just keep doing things as we've been doing for the time being. Now, the religious community is split on this, as some have decided to do the same thing that I've decided to do. But some are going to defy the local government, and they're going to open today, which is, by the way, Pentecost Sunday. I agree that there is a problem out there that is being voiced from the church community, that the church is being hit with heavy restrictions that hinder us greatly. And while for the last 2 months certain stores and markets have been allowed to operate with less restrictions than the church, even though they are bigger, while both they and the church have been deemed as essential, and with these businesses seeing numbers of foot traffic that greatly exceed our own, and distancing and cleanliness and face coverings not being adhered to, with little or no report of outbreaks coming from them. I mean, do you find it funny that there has not been more reports of an outbreak from a Walmart or more than we have had from other supermarket chains, who see as much activity as they do daily, all day, every day? But if you Google this, you will find that there have been reports. But I've been following the news daily since this whole thing with shelter in place began, and I've not heard much from the news on this. Now, some of it has not been local, but some of it is local. But it's not spreading in those places, and it's not spreading from those places as it's made out to in other places and other settings. And even though there have been outbreaks, this is not closed down all those places either. So the question is, why the church? I'm not denying the dangers of the virus. But I do feel that there is indeed something that is wrong with this whole thing. But my purpose for bringing this up today is not to beat the drum of government agendas and secret plots against the church. And I'll tell you, there is so much talk about all that going on right now. My purpose today is to encourage us to turn our focus in another direction. The first thing that we need to look at is we need to be praying. We need to be seeking God's face, connecting with Him, especially when so many people feel isolated, because one of the things that will fill the void of isolation is God. We need to be praying that the virus would be eradicated, that it would be stomped out, that it would no longer be a part of our world. And we need to be praying for the healing and the protection of people. We need to be praying for our leaders. We need to be praying for what's going on in our world right now. Now it's not just a pandemic. Now we have what's going on with these protests, the violence, the damage, the anger that is going on in our nation. There are so many things that we need to be focusing on in prayer right now. But we also need to be looking at this. We need to be looking at what is God doing in this time. What is God doing on us and in us and doing it all, what is he doing in us all, not only as a whole, but what is he doing in us individually? We need to be spending less time on conspiracies and theories and more on what God is doing in this time. We need to be spending less time on what man is doing and more time on what God is doing. And how we each need to come into awareness of that and get in line with what he is doing for us as a people and for us as individuals. I mean, we need to ask ourselves the question of what are we feeding ourselves in this time? What are we focusing on in this time? You know, because what we feed on, what we focus on, is a reflection of our spiritual diet. I was handed a prophetic word Thursday that I had actually seen, and I had put it away with all my other things that I collect on this. And this was back in March. This was a week after Shelter in Place was instituted. And it talked about 2020 being a year of a tremendous shaking. The word spoke of the devil's plans with COVID-19, but it also talked about God using all of this to do a shaking. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, it says this. It says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive." This is what Joseph told his brothers after he revealed his identity to them when they came to Egypt to buy grain during the time of a great famine. It was a famine that lasted 7 years. It was a famine that, as Genesis 41:57 says, was severe in all the earth. God sent Joseph there to Egypt and established him there and prepared him through a series of difficulties and hardships. He was attacked by his brothers, he was betrayed by his brothers, and he was sold like property by his own brothers who hated him. He was taken away from his home to Egypt. He found himself working in the home of the captain of the bodyguard, where he was falsely accused, and he was put into prison, and he was forgotten about there. But then God used him to interpret dreams. And even after he interpreted those dreams, he was forgotten about. But then suddenly, seemingly overnight, he was established to a place of being the second in command of the major world power of the day, in order to save the world from hunger, to save the seeds of the 12 tribes of Israel, and to set the stage for the exodus that would happen 400 years later in the building of the nation of Israel, and how it changed Joseph from a big-mouthed tattletale that his brothers hated, who didn't see what God was doing, into someone who was a humble and wise person that saved the world and was able to see the hand of God in it. Joseph went through a severe shaking. But if you know the whole story of Joseph, it wasn't just about Joseph, but about his brothers also. His brothers were untrustworthy, they were jealous, and they actually wanted to kill their own brother. As much as a pain as he was with his talk of dreams that they were all bowed down to him someday, and his father displaying his favoritism toward Joseph and not toward his brothers, which fed his brothers' jealousy, his father would actually position Joseph further into this tattletale situation by having him go to where his brothers were and bring back a report to him about them. And they already hated him, so all this does is fuel that all the more. I mean, Joseph came out of a really messed up family. And God used this famine to not only establish what he did with Joseph, but to bring that family together. So this prophetic word that I was reintroduced to this week talks about a shaking in the church. And when we talk about the church, we're also talking about our church. Shaking out all of its impurity, shaking out what we love and are devoted to in our house and in our houses that is not Jesus. But it is there in our houses, with our people, with our ministries, with our programs, and with our people. To where these things and people are worshipped and elevated, to where these things are put above God and His will. Because people have said, "Not your will, Lord, but mine." Or, "Not your will, God, but my things, my ministries, and my people, Lord." And so God is shaking His church because we don't listen. We don't see. And so He has to shake us to get us to see it, to hear it. Because if it's said, we will look at our neighbor or we'll look at someone else and we'll say, "See, are you hearing this? He's talking to you." And we never see and we never consider that we're the ones being talked to. We got a word at the beginning of 2020 that this was going to be a year of clearing away for what God wanted to establish. And God has been doing that. It started actually back in 2018 with 90% of our congregation going through crisis. And it wasn't just going on in our house, it was going on with everyone all over the globe. In 2019, it continued, but it lifted off of some people, but it remained on others. I remember people saying, "You know, it's just one thing after another that just keeps happening to me." And then in 2020, the global pandemic and the shutdown. Which is historic and unprecedented. I propose to you that we are experiencing now, what we're experiencing now, is the third part of a process that God has been doing to shake us. And it's been global. And it's been hitting the church as well. This word goes on to say that this shaking is an act of God's love. Shaking is referring to breaking things loose that need to come off of us. And so because of that, the shaking needs to happen. Because people don't see what they're doing, or people aren't open to seeing what they're doing. And God is saying, what you are embracing isn't right. And it's not good for you. And not only is it not good for you, it's not good for other people either. And so God is trying to shake us loose because we won't let go. And so His shaking is loosening our grip. It's wearing us down to where there's no more fight left in us. And in that moment, we choose to let go. And finally, in that moment, as we do that, we see where we've been and we see what we've been doing. Shaking causes us to stop and hopefully re-examine ourselves and what we're doing. It causes us to stop and be more open to the conviction of the heart, to where we say, "Wow, I've been wrong and I don't see it." God is trying to realign us, and He's been doing it now for a while. Last week I spoke about humility. Now, the opposite of humility is pride. Pride isn't just saying that I don't need others or I don't need God, that I can do things by myself without anybody else's help. Pride also says that it's all about me. It's about my wants. It's about my desires. And some are pushing that in the name of God, and God's not in it. And so God is shaking to reconnect us with Him and to realign and restore us to Him and to bring healing. After the death of Jacob, who's Joseph's father, it says in Genesis 50, verses 15 through 18, it says, "When Joseph's brother saw that their father was dead, they said, 'What if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong which we did to him?' So they sent a message to Joseph saying, 'Your father charged before he died, saying, Thus you shall say to Joseph, Please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servant." It's at this point to where Joseph reassures them that they don't have to be afraid and that God uses the whole situation with them and him to save everyone. So don't worry, don't be afraid. He then reassures them that he will continue to provide for them. And it says that he spoke kindly to them and comforted them. See, there was a reconciling here. There was confessing, there was weeping, and there was forgiveness, which leads to restoration. Restoration leads to revival. Restoration heals family. But it's actually more than that, because Joseph's family was never really a family. I mean, they were a family physically, but they were a house divided. And the dreams of Joseph was actually what started the shaking. In the end, it unified the family to where they had not been before. Unified. And God wants to bring healing and aligning in the church. And so this prophetic word speaks of God saying, "Can you hear the sound of tears in homes?" It was the tears of healing and realigning and confessing and forgiveness, of homes coming into order. I'm talking about our home here. Homes coming into order. The church can't come into order until the homes that make it up come into order. I believe that shelter in place has slowed everything down. It's restricted everyone, so that now we have an opportunity to stop and self-examine and bring ourselves into order so that we will be different when we all come back together. After the reconciliation of Joseph with his brothers, the chapter concludes with Joseph's passing years later, which concludes the book of Genesis and begins the book of Exodus. And it says in verse 7 of chapter 1, it says, "But the sons of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly, and multiplied and became exceedingly mighty, so that the land was filled with them." Healthy things grow. The family was reconciled and it grew strong. It grew so strong that the Egyptians became fearful of them. Our church has had many prophecies over the years and continues to have of the church growing tremendously. But it can't do that until we get healthy. Shelter in place is a good time for all of us to self-examine, to be honest, to be really honest with ourselves, and make right what has been wrong in our relationships with one another. This is a great time to reach out to one another, to build and to rebuild relationships. It's a great time to look at the past, to where we've been hurt, and to look at what has not been healed, and take those pains to Jesus. Now, if you need help with that, you know, reach out to us, because we can help you with that. And we would love to help you with that. So that you can heal. So that you can make peace with the past. So that you can find peace for yourself. To go forward in peace, with your vision clear, and not have it clouded by the pains that you're still carrying. There's a attitude that I have run into over the years that says that we don't need to look at the past. We just need to go forward. Well, the unhealed and the unaddressed things of the past left unattended to don't go away. They're like a big ball with spikes on it. Like those old maces that you would see with medieval armor. And we're dragging that ball with spikes with us. And as we go along the way, those spikes pick up other things that get past us. But they get hooked onto that ball that we're carrying. And it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. The mass gets larger and larger and larger. And so left unattended, our lives conform to the mass that we carry. It affects us and how we see ourselves. It affects how we see other people. It affects how we respond to other people, how we see and how we address situations, if we even can, because we are diminished by the load that we carry. After a while, we come to believe that that mountain that we're now carrying, that started out as that ball, that is now a mountain, we come to believe that its impact on us is now our truth. When our truth has been tainted by the mountain that we carry. Left long enough, we forget that mountain's even there. We've been carrying that mountain for so long that it has now become normal for us. And it's affected us. And we no longer question it or we even think about it. We just go on as we have been. But the problem is, this is not the real us. It affects us. And it affects who we encounter. And it affects what we do. How many of you were tired carrying the mountain? How big is your mountain? Do you even know that you're carrying a mountain? Now, I'll let you in on a little secret, okay? We're all carrying stuff. All of us. The question isn't if you're carrying stuff. The question is, how much are you carrying? We are each the living stones that make up our house, as 1 Peter 2:5 says. So we need to not only look at us, it's time to put things in order in our house, to put things in order in our ministries, perhaps even maybe to even start new ministries, to lay rest to the old ones maybe, to bring what we've been doing into proper alignment with the Lord, to take our ministries, our agendas, and our people off the pedestals that we've put them on and put Jesus back to where He belongs as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And have Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our lives and in all that we do, in everything that we do. When we are out of alignment, it impacts all that we do. This prophetic word went on to speak of God doing a purging, and that it will continue until God has removed the world from the church. Until God has removed the world from our church. And that He's bringing people to the end of their own means, the end of their own wisdom, their own pride, so that people will repent, so that people will see, people will acknowledge. Repent means to turn and go in the opposite direction from the direction I've been going in. So that we can move into a time of a great realm of knowing Him and His ways and walking in His wisdom and not in our own. Let's use shelter in place to get right and to get free, because I don't know how much more shaking God's going to be doing. You can either get free now, or you can get shaken some more. I think the clock has run out on being the same and staying the same. I mean, you look at the unprecedented time that we're in right now, it is unlike any other time in history. Now, God didn't cause all this, but He's sure using it. And it's not just us locally. This is going on across the face of the entire globe all at the same time. This says to me that God has stepped things up a notch. Why? Because I think time is getting shorter. God so intensely loves us. And He is so serious about you stepping into His freedom that He is willing to take you through a lot for your freedom. But the good news is, whatever He takes you through, He is there with you in the midst of it. I mean, if God was serious enough to send Jesus to die for the world, how serious is He willing to get with you? How serious is He willing to get for you? And therefore, for those that you touch. Because He's not done with us yet. He's not done with us, and He's not done with you. Because He has more for us to do. He has more for you to do. The world needs Jesus. You look at the effects of the pandemic. You look at the effects from the protests. The world is hurting. The world is angry. The world needs Jesus. It always has, but especially now. And I think the part of the shaking is showing the world that we need something more. We need Jesus. And the good news is we carry Him. We as the people of God, we are carriers of Christ. And we carry Him out there into all those places, into all those situations. We carry Him. And so He's working on us, working in us, so that He can use us to touch them. Because they desperately need a touch from God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for the work that You're doing. It demonstrates the radical love that You have for us. The fact that You would take the whole world through a shaking because You love us so much shows how radical Your love is. Lord, I just pray that You would open our eyes, You would open our hearts, open our minds to seeing what You're doing. Not only in what's going on around us, but in what You're doing in each of us. That You would bring us into that place with You that we need to be, to put things into order, to put things into alignment, so that we see clear. It's like sharpening a spear or sharpening an arrow, making it to where it'll fly straight and it'll go right through the bullseye. God, You want to do that with us. You want to fine-tune us and tool us to make us as effective as possible for a world that is crying out for You and doesn't even realize it's You that they're crying out for. God, just work in us. Open our eyes to seeing what You're doing. Bring us to the place of humbling ourselves and saying yes, Lord, to whatever You're saying and doing. Help us to see and give us the courage to step out in what You show us. Because coming into alignment, bringing things in order sometimes takes a lot of courage. The crazy part about carrying that mountain is, as hard as it is, it's easy. Facing the mountain is hard. But I thank You that with You, we can scale every mountain in front of us. We can become victors and not victims. Thank You for the hope and the victory that is ours because of You. Help us, God. I thank You for Your shaking. I pray that we would get every ounce out of it that we can get for our good and for the advancing of Your kingdom. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Let me share some questions with you before we go off here. These are the questions that I've been giving out every week after the message to kind of take what's been said and kind of drill it further down. So the first question is, and again, these are on our COG list, our COG list also. So when you think about the church being restricted and not reopening right away, what feelings does this stir up within you? And as those feelings stir up, take a moment and get with God and talk with Him about what you're feeling. Then sit in His presence and let Him speak to you about these feelings and ask Him to show you what you need to see about yourself in what you're feeling. Next, what do you think God is doing in our world with the pandemic and the shutdown? What is God doing in you during the pandemic and the shutdown? How is your prayer life in this time? Where is your focus in this time? What is the focus of your prayers? What are you filling yourself with emotionally, mentally, and spiritually in this time? What in your life needs to come under God's order that currently is not? What needs to come under God's order in your ministries that currently is not? And lastly, what are your testimonies and stories of God taking a situation of yours that looked bad at one point, but later it was seen that God had done something wonderful with it? Collect those stories and reflect on them. How does that encourage you now? So thank you for being with us. God bless you, and we'll see you again next week.